Well, amen. What a blessing. What a great way to start our service this morning. And so excited to be with you. I don't know if I should introduce myself. I've been gone a couple weeks, but grateful for the time away. And just thank you so much for your generosity and just graciousness. And excited to be back with you and looking forward to this morning. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you so much for being here and choosing to worship with us today. We would love to connect with you. We can do that one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out, and at the end of service, you can either leave it in the pew there beside you or in the offering plate as we dismiss, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new, and you can click that button and fill the information out. And again, it's just a way for us to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us today, be it in person or online. We are thankful that you've chosen to be with us today. Want to make you aware of a few things that are happening and coming up and some exciting things that are coming in the days ahead. Of course, make sure you're aware of Vacation Bible School. That'll be happening soon. Plenty of opportunities to serve and be a part of that. I hope you're making plans to be a part of that and inviting. There'll be plenty of opportunities. No evening services tonight. I want you to enjoy time with your family and celebrate Mother's Day and enjoy that time together. There's several different things in your bulletin I want to make you aware of, but I can't go through all of those. I will be here a long time, but just make sure you take note of those. A few things I want to mention to you is, first of all, next Sunday evening, we will have our family business meeting, and there's a couple of items that are on the agenda for that business meeting I want to make you aware of. First of all, there's a proposal for two young men to be proposed as new deacons in our church. And so we'll be voting on that next Sunday. And so I hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. And then secondly, we are looking at doing some remodeling, some maybe a little bit of a facelift, if you will, in our fellowship hall area. And so there's a plan that I'm proposing this that on this business meeting next week, next Sunday night, and we're laying out a plan of what that might look like, how we might be able to go about that. And so want to make you aware of that. So next Sunday night is our quarterly business meeting. I hope that you'll make plans to be here for that. And then finally, I want to mention another opportunity before us is I will be hosting another pastor's fellowship. Not this week, but the next. And so you all were so gracious last time we hosted, and each time we've hosted one of these, to be able to give and be a blessing to these pastors. And so these are just, most of them are local pastors in our area, but some have come from far and wide at our last gathering. And so we hope to extend that invitation. Well, we've already put out there inviting them to come be a part, feed them, just try to come alongside them and encourage them. And so if you would be willing to consider giving to these men, and you can, there are a variety of ways that you can give. You can give gift cards, you can give cash, and you may want to buy something and give something that way. And you may say, oh, I don't know what to give them. Here's what I'll tell you. These pastors are just men. They just like man things, okay? So however you choose to do that or want to be a part of that, you certainly have the opportunity to do that. And so you can see me or however you want to do that, it'll be fine. But we just want to come alongside these pastors and help hold their arms up that they may continue the work of the ministry, okay? Well, this time I want to lead us in just a time of prayer. And I realize and I understand that a day like today, a Mother's Day, comes with a lot of emotions from a lot of different perspectives and all sorts of hardships that life throws at you. I know there are some that are carrying the burden of having to go through and have had the experience, unfortunately, of bearing one of their own children, or moms or women among us that long to hold their own child, or some of us have buried moms and have buried moms at an early age, or whatever. I know that today carries a full gamut, a full array of emotions. And so as we begin today, and even I preach about motherhood and moms in our lives, I want to just have a time where we pray and ask God to minister to those, each of us, in a unique way where no matter how we're kind of approaching this day, some it's a great, great, great day of celebration. Some it comes with a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. And so just praying that the Lord would meet each one of us right where we're at today. And so let me lead us in a time of prayer. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, we come to you. And God, I can't know the full weight of emotions and feelings that a day like today brings. But Lord Jesus, I know that you do. And so God, I pray that you would meet each person right where they're at today. God, that you would give them comfort and peace and strength. God, give them joy in the midst of adversity and difficulty. God, give us grace to celebrate your goodness in our lives. And God, I pray that you would bless every person in this room. God, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you be glorified in our time of singing. I pray, God, you be glorified in the time of preaching. And that, Lord, we would respond to you out of obedience. And Lord Jesus, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
Just stand as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Lord God Almighty.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 6. We are going to begin in verse 1. This morning I want to preach to you a message, a little bit different approach this morning than what I've taken in the past. And so moms, I hope that you're ready this morning, because most of my message is going to be geared towards kids, children, and the men in the room. So women, you get ready. Moms, you get ready for your full voice amen. There's going to be some opportunities this morning. So not that you're going to send a message, you just like good preaching, right? And so anyway, this morning what I want to do is preach this text and highlight some truth from this text and from the context in which we find our main passage this morning as it relates to moms and how we treat moms and how we see our moms and all those sorts of things. And so with that, I've titled this message, Queen of the House. I heard a faint one. I just knew we were just going to start. I gave you a softball right at the front, and you were supposed to smack that thing. We're going to get off to a good start. We're a little slow, but we'll get there, okay? All right, so anyway, Queen of the House. I want to preach to you from the passage of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. So if you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the Word of God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for today. God in heaven, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that there be anybody lost, God, that you would save them today. Anybody that's far from you, God, that you would restore them. And I pray for the saints of God that you would encourage them. Lord, be with us in these next few moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so the main idea of the text this morning, if you're taking notes, is mom should be honored inside and outside the home. As we look at this and we talk about this text, we're going to talk about both inside and outside the home and approach this from a little bit different angle maybe than what you've heard or what we've talked about even before in the past. And so the question then this morning is, are you honoring the mom in your life? Now notice I didn't ask if you're honoring your mom, and hopefully that is true as well. But I realized this morning, and amongst us, there's likely a lot of different levels to motherhood. Some biological children have had several biological children. Some have gone on to have grandkids and maybe even some great grandkids. Some were not able to have children of their own, and so maybe even married into a relationship. We have stepchildren or possibly adopted or maybe even just longing and not able to have that. But what I've found with most women I've seen in my life is that oftentimes even those who don't have biological children somehow, some way find a way in which or find themselves in relationship where they may be a surrogate mother to somebody, or they may be even just a second mom to friends, or whatever the case may be. And so this morning as we talk about this, I understand that not everybody in the room is a mother, and some may be yet to be, and all that sort of thing. But I believe it's important as we think about this, is not just thinking even just about the biological mother in our life, because I'm going to talk to the men in the room. We're going to talk about even about our spouse who might be a mother and how we are to honor them. And so the question then stands this morning, are you honoring the mom or moms in your life? And so there's four truths from the text this morning I want us to look at. Number one, simple directions for kids are best. Simple direction for kids are best. And so this morning we're looking at our text in Ephesians, and Paul's writing this letter, and he gets to chapter 6, and he has some really clear, clear direction even for who our text is for. And so let's look at that chapter 6, verse 1. Here it is, first word, children. That's who he's addressing this to. He has been writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's addressing a lot of different things. And as is common with Paul's letter, the first half of his letter deals with theology. It deals with the spiritual things and thinking about the spiritual things. And then the second half is the practical, man, where we get our hands dirty, if you will, where we our feet walk and living out our faith. And so that's true here. And so as we're going to deal with the end of chapter 5 in a moment, but then going into chapter 6, he makes it really clear who he's talking about or talking to in this moment. And so here's what he said: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I appreciate when Paul puts things on the bottom shelf for me. Things that are simple, things that are easy to understand. We don't have to spend a whole long time talking about what this means. You don't need a lexicon or a dictionary or original language to understand this morning what Paul is trying to tell kids, tell children. He says, obey your parents. And specifically this morning, let's apply that. Obey your mama. Man, I can't give it to you any easier than that. Listen, if you can't get on board with that, it's going to be a long morning, I'm telling you. So remember, Brother Jim preached a few weeks back, and he told you the more you amen, the faster this thing goes. So amen, is that right? So now you woke up. I see. All right. So there's something in the crock pot waiting on you. That's all I'm reminding you this morning. But he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Real simply, this is what we ought to do. And want to remind you this morning, moms and dads, that man, simple directions are best for raising our kids. That sometimes, I know, listen, as a parent, we can outthink ourselves. And we can make things a lot harder on our kids or for our kids than what it needs to be. And that we just need to remind them and have simple directions this morning as we're looking to lead them, that we don't have to make it really complex and all this sort of thing. And so Paul lays this out, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And by the way, notice it says honor your mother. So this just goes beyond, I believe the complexity here is that this goes beyond even the here and now at a young age. Is that, listen, as you and I grow that and we move out of the home, we can still do what is right in honoring our mom. Now, that doesn't mean that necessarily we're going to obey everything that she says we ought to do and you know, submit to every direction because she thinks our life ought to go in a little different direction, whatever the case may be. But we can still honor her. And the word honor means to put in a place of prestige, a place of honor. Now, listen, we don't have to. We're going to talk about this morning. Ultimately, Jesus is in the ultimate seat of honor. He's in the seat that is above every seat. He is the name that is above every name. But for the moms in our lives, kids, you have a responsibility to obey mom, to follow her direction. I hear the kids even thinking now, what if he tells me to go jump off a bridge or whatever it is? Yeah, that ain't happening, okay? But God has called us. If we're going to walk faithfully with the Lord, if we're going to walk in a way that pleases and honors Him, be called a Christian, be obedient in our Christian walk, then part of that responsibility is obedience to our parents and obedience to mom and dad. That's what He's called us to do. And so you can't say you're walking in close relationship with God and you're acting in disobedience to mom and dad. And by the way, mom and dad, we need to remind our kids of this. This is not wrong to remind them of that. Because there's a bigger play, there's a bigger thing at stake here. When my kids aren't being obedient to me, our children aren't being obedient to us, then we need to help them understand that God has placed us in their life as a position of authority. Because listen to this, parents, if they can't submit to your authority, they won't submit to His. And so this is why it's important for us to keep our instructions simple for our kids. Because you don't need to make it so complex that they don't know how to obey. This is why it's important. Instruction and rules and structure is important. Because if it's always based on how you feel for the day, then they never know how to be obedient to you. If one day you let them get away with a lot of things because you don't have clear structure set, and the next day, man, you're drawing the line hard and fast, then they don't know from one day to the next how to be obedient to you and what your expectation is. And so we need to be very clear in what's laid out in front of them so that they can be obedient and that we can hold them to that obedience. And he says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. This is good. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. And anybody's mamas have the law, laid down the law? It's a good thing. It's amazing as we get older, we come up with sayings that like mama knows best, right? Because as you grow in wisdom and you grow in maturity, you begin to, anybody testify, you begin to look back and go, man, mama knew a whole lot more than what I realized she did. We experience that. We know that. And this is why it's important for us to hold our kids to a level of obedience, and specifically, especially even with our moms. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. Notice this, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is a good thing to teach our kids. Hey, this is a good thing to teach your grandkids. I know it, when they come to grandma and grandpa's house and get away with everything, and that's fine in the moment. But let me encourage you in this, grandmas and grandpas. Encourage your grandkids in their obedience to mom and dad. Encourage them, teach them. That is right. It is good. And it's fun to let little Johnny get away with some things while he's a grandma and grandpa. But can I encourage you, don't cut the legs of authority of your kids in blessing your grandkids. Yeah, I knew that one gonna get an amen. You out there on your own, preacher. But honor them, hold them. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. The Bible is full. It's amazing to me in what we think about just the book of Proverbs filled with wisdom, and how much in the book of Proverbs is filled with the direction to children in obedience. It's no wonder. God's made some things really clear, really simple for us. That children ought to be obedient to their parents, and parents need to give simple directions that help their kids walk in obedience. And so, simple directions for kids are best. Number two, simple order of relationships is best. Simple order of relationships is best. We're going to jump out on a limb here, okay? So hold on, look at. So here's what he lays out in Ephesians 6:1-2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, okay? All right, so hey, we dealt with that. This is this paternal relationship. It's children being obedient to their mama. But what I want to do is I want to hit pause, and I want us to set this in its context, okay? And so if you'll back up to chapter 5, and specifically verse 22, because I want you to see what was given in some direction who Paul was talking to before he got to the kids. Look at what he says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. So hit pause. Before he talks to the kids, who's he talk to? He talks to the husband and the wife. He talks to the mom and dad. And hold on, men, we're going to get strong in here in just a moment. I'm going to get in your Kool-Aid, okay? So he says that there's this relationship. And notice he said, husband is head of the wife, is Christ also head of the church and is savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, look at this. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I'm not about to preach about the importance of wives. I don't have time this morning to preach on both of these roles of husbands and wives and go off about wives submitting to their husbands. But I'm going to tell you this morning, men, that you have a responsibility. The way that this works and comes together by God's design first begins with the husband loving his wife as Jesus loved the church. The reason why submission and the reason why we get these roles out of order is oftentimes, husbands, we don't lead in such a way and we don't love in such a way that it's part of God's design in submitting themselves because we don't love like Jesus loved his church. Look at this, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. He might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, so why, and I'm going to keep reading the rest of this. Why in the world would we talk about this? Why would I bring this up? Because here's what I need you to see. Before he spoke to the children, he spoke to the husband and wife. And this morning I want us to see that he spoke to the husband because it's a part of the created order. So first, we've established God is first in every, the design ought to be that God is first in every aspect of our life. And then as husband and father, the next relationship outside of my relationship with God, the next relationship of utmost priority is my relationship with my wife, not my kids. I know we're about to get really uncomfortable up in here. My relationship with God comes first. My relationship with my wife is next, and then my kids. Why deal with that this morning? Because he deals with husband and wife first, and he talks about the importance of husbands loving their wives as Jesus loved the church, and loving their wives as he loves his own flesh. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. We are members of his body, of the flesh and of his bones. For this reason, here's what separates it. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become flesh. Let me hit pause. That is not said about the relationship with parent and child. That is only said about the relationship between husband and wife. Because there's a special ordination when one man and one woman come together under the created order of God in which he's placed us. And so what I need to say to the men this morning, and I need us to understand, is that I can't be the father God has called me to be if first I don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. That's first. I can't fulfill the things that God has called me to the full extent of God's design until I first fall in love with Jesus and I follow him and I surrender to him and I walk with him. And so, friend, my encouragement to you this morning, if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, I love you in Jesus' name, but you can't be the mama, daddy, the grandma, the grandpa. You can't be anything in what God originally designed you to be without that saving relationship with him. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible says, man, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this thing begins with, man, we have to have a saving relationship with Jesus. And then out of that, now I have a relationship with my wife in which he brought us two together and he made one. And so I can't be the father, you can't be the mother that God calls you to be until you have a saving relationship with Jesus. Secondly, you can't be the mother or father until that relationship with your spouse is right, is good, and it's in the right priority. And then we can be the mama and the daddy in which God has called us to be. Now, let me hit pause on a couple things. I realize we live in a world where there's a lot of brokenness. We live in a sin-sick world where there's a lot of brokenness for a variety of reasons. There's broken homes in our foster care system is overloaded. The need for adoption is unbelievable. And so I realize there's some of us sitting here. There's some of us watching online. There's some in our close circles that may not have this exact picture of what I just described. But friend, this is what I can tell you. God and God alone can take brokenness and use it for His kingdom and His glory. If you will seek to honor Him in every area that you can, here and now, God will use that. God will redeem that. So then let me say this based on those relationships. Why do I highlight that? Because men, this is what I need you to understand. Before your bride or your spouse, before my bride is mama, she's my wife. Why is that important? One, it's part of God's created design. Secondly, there's a certain standard that everybody will be held to when you're dealing with my wife. That includes my kids. There's a certain level in which kids will be held to because she's my wife. I get that she's their mama, but she's my wife first. And what does that mean? Here's why that's important. Because it affirms God's created design, and hold on to this, it lets kids be in a kid's place. Children, one of the issues we're having in our society is that children are no longer in a child's place. And I know, man, we're getting all up in some stuff this morning. I know it does. I hear from some of you, but it amazes me sometimes when I'm at the ball field or I'm out in a store or somewhere, and I hear the way that a child speaks to a mama or to a daddy. And I realize it's not culturally appropriate or fun to talk about. But friends, we need to understand the order of relationship in which God has designed. And we need to make sure that kids know that they're in a child's place until they become an adult. Until they grow into that. Listen, there's things, and I hear, man, I feel the tension in the room, right? Man, listen, there's things all over our society, even in your everyday life, that we recognize this. We honor, man, there's a certain age level in which we won't give a sharp knife to a child. Why? Because they don't know the knife is sharp and they'll cut themselves. Then why in the world are we living in a society in a day and age where we try to give our children such a voice as if they're an adult and they have no idea the power of their words or the strength of their decisions? We need to get back to the order in which God has created and ordained this thing and make sure we hold people in the right position. And I'm not at all advocating abuse. I'm not at all, man, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about godly order in which we make sure children know they are in a child's place until they grow into maturity, until they mature into being an adult. Part of that, all of that, is our responsibility to help shepherd and raise our kids. That way they can be mature adults and they understand the value and the importance and the significance of their decisions. And so God has ordered these things. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, we pick up, and the first thing is we see children directed at children. But I need you to understand that the context says that Paul first spoke to the mom and dad saying, hey, your relationship with Almighty God has to be right. Your relationship with each other has to be right. Then this relationship with the kids. Then I can tell the children, obey your parents, because, man, things are going to be taken and put in place. Because I've got to lead in such a way. Dad, you need to lead in such a way that knowing that you can't just talk to my wife any way you want to. I don't care who birthed you. My boys need to see that there's a certain way in which you need to uphold your wife and stand for your wife and strengthen your wife and support and lift her up and be a source of encouragement. My daughter needs to see that there's a certain way in which a man treats a woman, and she's going to see that by how I treat her mama. First, that she's my wife. And so then there's a created order in which we need to hold to, we need to lift up. And again, let me say this, I realize that we live in a world that all of these dynamics are not always present. But friend, I can tell you this, is that you need to do all that you can to honor the mamas in your life. Treat them the right way. Be an example of how they ought to be. And make sure, man, we lead our kids simply, but we also let them understand that they're in a child's place until they're not, until they grow out of that. And above all, that we need to surrender our heart and life to Jesus so that we can be all that God has created us to be. And he ends in verse 32 and 33. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So number three, simple promises are a blessing. Simple promises are a blessing. He says in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And in verse 3, he gives the promise that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth. A part of the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment that was given, is honor your father and your mother. And he gives this promise with it. We're going to read it in just a moment. Matter of fact, go ahead. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. We have it on the screen. But it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here's what I need you to understand. Is that God, even Paul highlights this, this is the first commandment of the ten that are given that have a promise directly associated with it. And the promise is that it'll be well with you. Now I need you to hear Deuteronomy chapter 5 again. Listen, honor your father and mother as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long, look at this, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is given to the children of Israel as they're going into the, they're in the wilderness but headed into the promised land, right? And so that's what's given here, is that collectively there is a responsibility. As you are obedient to your mom and your dad, it'll be well with you in the land. And so what's he saying? He's not necessarily giving it to every individual child, because we know, man, there are hard days, and there are days in which we bury children, and we bury children that are obedient to their parents. But he's given it to them collectively. Why? Because they had seen collectively the hand of God in the wilderness not only deliver them out of Egypt, but then sustain them as they went throughout the wilderness, and God provided and cared and took care of them. And so what's he saying? Saying, children, you need to be obedient to God. It'll be well with you in the land, because why? They're going to teach you what I have done among them. And so as they raise you up and you're obedient to that, it'll be well with you. And we know, unfortunately, that's not what happened, right? They quickly forgot what God had done in their life. They quickly got away from what God had placed in their life. But children, this is what I need you to see. Mom and dad, you need to see this. It is important for us to get this thing right and teach them obedience. That generationally, our kids may have the favor of God on them. I know we want to look around and we want to blame a younger generation. But dear friend, in Claiborne Homes in Memphis, we'd say you better sweep around your own front door first. That we have our own responsibility to teach, to raise up our children that'll honor the Lord and be obedient. And then number four, simple discretion is best. Simple discretion. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In a faraway place, in a faraway land, I was around a particular volleyball program that had a head coach. I mean, it experienced quite a bit of success. But the coach struggled with sometimes wanting to kind of be grandma to the athletes because she had a role within the school as well and not just the coach. And so she had a particular grandma type name that she wanted kind of everybody to call her, even her athletes on her team. And so there was this real casual relationship that she wanted a lot of the time. But then every now and then on the volleyball court, she would change at the drop of a hat and suddenly become Coach so-and-so. And had a whistle and was firm and trying to make people run and do all these kinds of things. And every year, year in and year out, there was more drama and more drama and more drama. And she came to me wanting to come into her practice and try to fix it. And I told her I wouldn't. She didn't like that. So because if I come in and demand that they're obedient to you, they'll be obedient to you while I'm there. Because now all of a sudden I'm the individual that has the authority. But the problem was is that there was this area, the line was never drawn in the sand. It was never clear. Sometimes I wanted to kind of be grandma and sometimes I wanted to be coach. And so what that meant is that the young ladies playing for her never knew when that hard, fast line was going to be drawn. And so they would push over in this gray area, and everything would be great. But then the next day they'd do the same thing, and all of a sudden, man, we're drawing a line. And so they were always confused. They were always upset, frustrated, all this kind of thing. So there was constantly problems. And here's what Paul's laying out. He says, fathers, and I would say, man, we need to all hear this morning. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Man, we have to be careful, men, coming in for a long day's work or overloaded with financial burden, whatever it is, moms and dads, whatever the case may be, we can't come in and day out and be a roller coaster, and our kids never know whether they can interact with us, never know what they can do, never know what they can say. Yes, I told you I'm all for that we need to honor God's created order, that it's God, it's our spouses, and it's our kids. But also, if we're going to have a relationship with them and help raise them, then we need to make sure we know where those lines are. More importantly, we've got to help communicate to our kids and knowing where that line and level of respect and level of obedience and level of honor is at with us and our spouse. And so it takes some discretion, takes some maturity to lay that out. Fathers, not provoke your children to wrath. And listen, I think we need to be clear. We need to be in charge. And there's sometimes we have to be strict and sometimes really strict. But friend, let me encourage you in this. Be very careful to be so strict that your kids never have any level of decision with any consequence to it. Because what happens is oftentimes they get so rebellious in that man, something's gotten out of hand. So we got to have a level of discretion. And knowing where that line is, and that's only an answer for you or you and your spouse. And you got to really think through and pray through of level of going, and some got to teach our kids that our decisions have consequences. We got to help protect them from some things. We got to help guard them as much as we can. And then as they grow, sometimes that begins to deteriorate just a little bit so that our choices and consequences mean something and they learn and they grow. It's a really difficult part of parenting, right? He says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In Colossians 3, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, lest they become discouraged. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So friends, this morning, my hope and prayer as we walk away, as we walk away with the importance of knowing, first of all, the only way to honor the mamas in your life the way that God has intended us to do is that you surrender your heart and life to Jesus. That's the single most important decision. It's the single most important relationship you'll ever have. Secondly, fathers, dads, even in broken home situations, dads, you need to make sure your children obey and honor their mama. Children, you have a biblical command to obey your mama, to honor her. Not always fun. And a lot of times you have friends at school or whatever that get away with a whole lot more. You get to do whatever. Well, that's their home, not yours. Be obedient to your mama. Honor her. Be a blessing to her. Love her. And then we need to pray that God will help us to live this out in a world that is very contrary to what this says. It's not easy, but it's what He's called us to. So if you will, let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace, and thank You for how You love and care for us. And God, I pray right now if there's anybody here that's lost without You, God, I pray You give them grace to call out on You for salvation. God, that they'd surrender their heart and life to You, and they'd invite You in and You'd save them. And if that's you, friend, I pray that just in the simplest way you know how, that you would ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That you'd turn from everything wrong in your life and turn toward Him. You'd invite Him in, ask Him to be boss and master and save you of your life. Forgive you of all your sins, and that you'll go wherever He wants you to go and do whatever He wants you to do and be whatever He wants you to be. You call out on Him and ask Him for salvation. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then the front here at the altar will be open. If you need to come forward because you need to be saved, maybe you want to talk to somebody, and we'd love to do that. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you want to pray for your mama, pray for your kids, your grandkids. Whatever the case may be, you be obedient to Him. Maybe you need to be baptized, you come. When I finish praying, you respond to Him. Lord Jesus, I pray God, I pray that we'd be obedient to You. Pray if anybody's lost that they'd come. And I pray, Lord, we'd be sensitive to Your direction and obedient to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. You made an attitude of prayer. If God dealt with your heart and you just want to come and pray, you come. Come now.
See on the portals.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I do want to remind you about a few giving opportunities. Some of our men take their place to help receive the offering. Again, going to have the pastor's fellowship. So if you're interested in giving toward that, I'd love to visit with you about that. If you have any questions or anything. Also, our baby bottles are out there as support. Opportunity to give through that, and so you can take one of those bottles and fill it up with change and bring it back on Father's Day, or some choose to just write a check. However the Lord leads you in that giving, you're more than welcome to that. There's information in those bottles about that opportunity, and then, of course, always our regular tithes and offerings, opportunity to give and continue to support the work and the ministry that happens week in and week out here. And so thank you for your faithfulness to give. Let's stand together, and then we will be dismissed. And again, no evening activities tonight. See you on Wednesday. And happy Mother's Day to you, and pray it's a great day for you. So let me pray. Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to each person here. God, give them grace and strength and peace. Lord, I pray that we would give in a way that honors you. And Lord, just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to do that. And so, God, go before us and behind us. Lord, help us to be a witness for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a powerful name it is.